Kedoshim, Tavshin, Aryan, Zion. So, in Perek Yudches, Pasuk Aleph, and we have it on there on the daf. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe l'emor, Daber el bnei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Kima'aseh Eretz Mitzrayim esher yashavtem ba, lo sasu, uchema'aseh Eretz Kanaan esher ani mevi'eschem shama lo sasu, v'chukoseim lo seleichum. Es mishpatai tasu, v'eschukosai tishmeru, v'leches behem, ani Hashem Elokeichem. So, Rashi says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Ani hu shamarti besinai Anochi Hashem Elokecha, v'kibaltem aleichem malchusi, me'ata kiblu gzerosai. So, under normal circumstances, I'm not even sure how we relate to this, you know. I said, you would record, you would recall my malchus, and that's it. Now, record, now, just right foot forward, right? You accepted my malchus, you accepted that I would record, I'm your king, and now you have to listen to my edicts, etc. But, I think what we'll come away with here from a number of things is that, the idea is much deeper and less cut and dry and not just very perfunctory. Okay, you're stuck, right? You accepted me as your king and now you have to follow through my edicts. Let's take a look. So first of all, the experience of Har Sinai. And this is something I think that's relevant b'chlal to this time period. We're coming towards Shavuos. Shavuos, albeit it's called Zman Matan Torah Seinu, the time of the giving of the Torah. Lamaisa, the Torah that we have, really is the Torah of Yom Kippur. Because the first Luchos were broken. Those ones were received in Shavuos time. And instead, on Yom Kippur, Moshe Rabbeinu brought down the second set of Luchos, because Baruch Hu forgave us, Salachti Kidvarecha, etc. So really we live with the second Luchos. The only thing that we have left from Shavuos, I mean, it's true, the Shivrei Luchos are also in the Aron. Right? The Shivrei Luchos, the remnants of the first set of Luchos are also in the Aron. But really the concept, right? The concept of what Shavuos is for us is it's the Zman Matan Torah Seinu. It's the Zman of the way the Torah was given to us. Right? Maimir Har Sinai. So you see the pasuk there from Shmos. Bahar Sinai Ashan Kulo, Mipnei Asher Yorad Alav Hashem Ba'esh, Vayal Ashano Ke'eshen HaKivshan, Vayacharad Kol Har Ma'od. Bahar Sinai Ashan Kulo, and Har Sinai, yeah, smoking. Mibnei Asher Yorah Alav Hashem Ba'esh, because Hashem descended upon Har Sinai Ba'esh. Vayal Ashano Ke'eshenav Kivshan, and the smoke, as it were, rose up Ke'eshenav Kivshan, like the smoke of a furnace. Vayacharad Kol Ahar Ma'od, and the whole mountain shook. So we know, we've talked about it before. I mean, just a quarter of Sfas Emes over here, just as a source, but we know that the many different secondary sources quote the Sefer Yetzirah that say that the Rashi Tevos of Ashan are Olam Shana v'Nefesh, Olam space, Shana and Nefesh, right? Olam Olam means space, right? Space, and Shana is time. And Nefesh is the life force itself. Really, our Nefesh.
What was time again?
Shana. So the Rashi Tevos are from that word Ashan. The significance in that is that at Har Sinai we see the Hashem came down, right? He came down in Aish. The Torah is Esh. The Torah is Esh. The Torah is fire. It consumes and transforms everything that comes into contact with it into more of that fire. When it says Har Sinai is Ashan Kulo, that the mountain was smoking, it's being consumed, and the Sefer Yetzirah teaches us that the Rosh Tevos of Ashan are Olam Shana and Nefesh. In other words, the perception of space, the perception of time, the perception of my very existence, Nefesh, were transformed by Maamar Har Sinai. And as everybody else is marching to the beat of, yeah, we live in a world, you know, in this space, right? There's what he called, everything has its place. Everything has its place. Everything has its makom, etc. Time is, you know, time is flow gently, sweet afton. Yeah, very cool. It's just sort of, you know, you go down the river, you know, merrily, whatever. Yeah, okay, right? Is that time, you're killing time, we talk about killing time, etc. And Nefesh, I'm me. Right? And so now, even if a person, as it were, wants to establish some sort of relationship with, you know, with a greater being, with a deity, whatever it is, but it's all within the context that we live in a world, there's space, there's time, and then there's me. And now I might choose or not choose to respect or to pay homage to a particular deity, right? Even if I say he's the deity of all deities, it's my choice whether to do that or not, and so on and so forth. It's not as though the whole transformation of reality over here in the way I conduct my life, because there's me and then there's the deity, and maybe it's wise on my part to serve him because he might be the biggest guy on the block. Yeah, maybe we'll call him Fred. Don't mess with Fred, because my Fred make you dead, right? So then, you know, that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. But that's not what we saw at Maamar Har Sinai. At Maamar Har Sinai, we saw that the concept of space, the concept of time, and the concept of our very identity, right, we realized is completely different than we perceived it before Maamar Har Sinai took place. In other words, not that everybody necessarily ascribed to French philosophers before they got to Har Sinai, but the concept of I think, therefore I am. That's me. That's who I am. That's why my reality begins with me. Was transformed at Har Sinai, at Maamar Har Sinai, to He wills, therefore I be. He wills, therefore I be. Because at Maamar Har Sinai, they realized that everything is only an expression of Hashem's will. Time, space, right? Time, space, and my very existence, my very identity. Right, my nefesh. I saw it was everything went up in smoke, as it were. All the perceptions of what the world is, what time is, who I am. Right, who I am. I heard from what was listening the other day to what he called Shir from Moshe Zechut Haglevracha, right? And he explained that this is the idea really of Yerushamayim. What does Yerushamayim mean? Yerushamayim. So Yira, when does a person experience Yira? When he perceives that his existence is perhaps being threatened. If all of a sudden right now a saber-toothed tiger would come in through the door, right?
Not from zero, right?
Thank you. Right, he beat you to the punch. What do you call it? So if something would come in, so we're afraid because what you know my being is threatened. My being is threatened. I don't see my being as being a ton. I don't see it as being, you know, self sufficient or powerful. It's conditional. Yerushamayim is not because I'm afraid that Hashem is going to punch my lights out. Right? Having Yira from the Rabbono Shalom is because I realize that I only exist because He wills that I be. It's not the fear that I'm going to disappear in a moment. It's the idea that my entire being is conditional. It's conditional on His will. And that's what we call, that's the concept of you know, right? Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem, right? Or Hein Yiras Hashem Chochma. That Yiras Hashem is the only Chochma. It doesn't mean there aren't any other Chochmas in the world, but it's the only real Chochma, the only real concept that you have to absorb from the outside, is that He wills, therefore you be. After that, once you're living in that world, once you're living in a world where there's the granddaddy of all chachmas, the beginning of a person's of a person building his worldview, his Weltanschauung, has to be Yiras Hashem. Hein Yiras Hashem Michachma. Chazal say, Hein Yiras Hashem Michachma, Hein, the only one. It's the only real chachma. Again, they're not denigrating science, or whatever. That's not the issue. The issue is if you have, chokhmah is what you absorb from the outside. If you have that concept, then you're living in the world the way it is, the way it's meant to be lived, etc. Once you have that, so then within that you go in whichever direction you go, but it's within that context. And Derech Agav, you see in the next citation there, that was the Sugat Ramban to the Sefer Mitzvah. Ramban writes, right, he writes out there that there's a mitzvah, right? The Rambam doesn't count it as a mitzvah. That's a separate issue. But the Ramban says a mitzvah shnia shenimnu, right? Shenimnenu shelo nishkach me'maimer harsinai. Right? These are the mitzvahs. He says the Rambam left out this as a lav. It's usher to forget maimer harsinai. And now to allow it to leave our das, our perception of reality, right? But our eyes and our hearts should be there all the days. And that it is which Chazal say, besides the Pasuk says, beware, right? Be careful, guard yourself, your nefesh, pentishkach, lest you forget the dvarim asher roei necha, those things that you saw with your eyes, peyasul milvavcha, and lest you cause it to leave your heart, kol yimei chayecha, all the days of your life, vodatim levenecha, and you need to teach this to your children, levnei venecha, and to your children's children, yom asher amantos nei Hashem elokecha b'chorei, the day that you stood before the Rabbeinu Shalom et Chorei. So that, like, I don't remember it. You remember it? I don't remember it. I remember Har Sinai. And let's say, what do you call it, the same way, obviously it doesn't mean what do you call it, who's going to have you, but nobody's been living since Har Sinai. But let that, what do you call it, so if we were all coming from, you know, from backgrounds where we could trace our star yuchsin, you know, our pedigree, you know, back, years, thousands of years, etc. You know, my father was Makabel from his Rebbe, from his father, from his father, from his father, from his father. I got the whole thing written out, back to what do you call, back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So you'd say, okay, fine, yeah, that's unbelievable. That's great. This person, he knows his father said, I know because my father told me that he would call, he knows it's true, and because his father told him, right, all the way back to somebody Har Sinai. That's terrific. But what about the rest of us here? Right? Right? We've had a large gap in what he called, you know, in that level of Mesorah where I can say that my father heard from his father, heard from his father, heard from this, from his father, etc., etc., etc. So what does it mean? It means that you can't forget that perception. Lamaisa, that perception is inside of us. It's inside of us. That's the idea of when at Maimon Har Sinai, like the Meshech Chochma writes, at Maimon Har Sinai, the Jewish people came to grips with what it says, V'gam b'cho ya'aminu le'olam. Says the Meshech Chochma, different from Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf, the Jewish people talked about this, that at Kriyas Yamsuf, at crossing the sea, because the Jewish people participated in it, they weren't just recipients of what Hashem did for the Bechesed, like in Mitzrayim. Again, we talked about this in terms of, right, in terms of Sfasemes, etc., that's what Hashem wanted them to be, Zocha Bedin. He wanted them to be Zocha Bedin, and therefore, as it were, he had to participate in order for it to penetrate deeper into the person. You need to participate. You can't just, you know, look up, I'll give it to you. It doesn't stick. So they participated. There was a serious nefesh. They went into the Yam, Nachshon Ben Amiadav, everybody else following him, wonderful. And therefore, the Emuna that they reached over there, they understood that everything is Hashem's will. They understood everything is Hashem's will. And by, that's why it says, Vayaminu b'Hashem, they believed in Hashem, Uva Moshe Abdo, and Moshe is servant. They realized that everything is Hashem's will, and that Moshe is the Eved Hashem. He's the one who's completely attached to Hashem's will. Perfect. But it wasn't permanent then, right? It's not like what took place in Hashem. But now, once you reach that point of Kriyas Yamsuf, and you know that everything is Hashem's will, so what am I supposed to do? So it comes Har Sinai, and Hashem says, okay, I'm going to tell you what to do. So we get our instructions. And Maimon Har Sinai, there was all clear to them, right? Hashem split open the heavens and the earth. It was clear to them. Har Sinai Ashan Kulo. That time, that space, that our very identity exists. Why? Because He wills, therefore it be. Everything be. Let it be. Right? Excuse me. Right? All because He wills it. All because He wills it. He wills it. And therefore, now the system they were introduced, that really, if you live, you know, if you live the world of I think, therefore I am, so your perception of reality is on what you can comprehend, and as much as you uncomprehend, that's as much as it's real to you. And what you don't comprehend, as far as you're concerned, doesn't exist. But if you're living the reality of He wills, therefore I be, then it's not that what I comprehend exists. The more I'm attached to that reality of He wills, therefore I be, the more I understand the reality. The more attached I am to reality. And that's what a person has to keep with him, that fire, the depth of the meaning of that statement, that everything is because He only wills, and therefore we be. That we saw at Har Sinai, that we have to keep that fire burning, that's what we pass on down to our children. See, even if we never got it from our parents, right? Even if we never got it from our parents, but once it's clear to us, you have to keep the fire, you have to fan the fire all the time. You know why it becomes clear to us? Because, like the Meshech Chachma says, because it's written inside of us. No one has to discover to believe. People only have to uncover to believe. Klal Yisrael only has to uncover to believe. We don't have to discover. We don't have to discover something new that's outside of us. It's inside of us. And that's why people have the capacity to do it. That's why Jews would come sometimes from far, far, we call, whatever ignites the spark, sometimes it's this thing or that thing, the next thing. But like I said, why would a Jew who's so far away from Yiddishkeit, so far away, so far, 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 far away, right? From Yiddishkeit. And so, one person has an experience, you know, he has an experience. Oh, it ignites a spark. And that's why he believes. So we all think it's where you go, wow, that like proved things to him, and now he believes. Yeah, I guess that's a miracle. Why should he believe? There's something called chance. Right? There's something called chance. Elamai, all the experiences, or the things that, you know, or the videos that people say, you know, proving, you know, Maimon Har Sinai, whatever it is, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. These are all just sparks that ignite something. But in the end, it's not because that I believe of something, you know, outside of me. I've not discovered something, I've just uncovered, right? I uncover. And that's the flame that's what a person has to keep always burning, and pass on. Yeah, to all those he comes into contact, primarily, what do you call his children? But what do you call, but he has to pass on, that has to pass. Again, you don't have to be a holy roller, right? You don't walk around, you know, every time somebody sees you, how are you? You they say, Shalom Aleichem. Oh, let me just tell you, what do you call, you roll around, you know, what do you call, with your eyeballs, you know, doing loop-de-loop 360s in your sockets, you know, et cetera, you know, froth of the mouth, and I believe, right? You don't have to be crazy. You don't have to be crazy, but the fire always has to be burning. Okay, fine. So now, within that context, so now let's see how the Sfasemes, right? Sfasemes speaks, he addresses that Rashi that we saw before, right? Remember, how the Parsha start off, not that part, Pishon, Yudches, Nachimos, yeah? Daber b'nei Yisrael v'amar ta'aleim, the psukim we saw in the beginning. Kemaat eretz Mitzrayim asher yashavtim bo lo sa'asu, kemaat eretz Kanaan asher ani mevi eschem, shama lo sa'asu b'chukoseim, lo se'lechu, don't follow their paths, it's their chukim, right, their statutes, whatever it is. As Mishmatai tatsu, I said to you at Sinai, Anochi Hashem Lokecha, Asher Hotzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, etc. Kibaltam Aleichem Malchusei, you accepted my Malchus. Now remember now, in the concept of accepting the Malchus, how do we understand it now? It's not just something peripheral, something on the outside. Okay, hail to the king, right? Hail to the king. Hail Selassie. God forbid. Yeah, we accept, we call accept your Malchus. But we realize that there is no one else. We realize what this Malchus means. Now, Me'ata Kiblu Gzerosai. Now, accept my Gzeros. So now, says the Sfasemis. Rashi. Brings the Medrash. Kibalti Malchusi, Kebla Gzeroisai. V'chem b'gmora. L'kabal O Malchus Shamayim T'chila. Right? Person in Kabal first, O Malchus Shamayim. Kein hu b'chol mitzvah, b'frat. Shetzorach lios kavonas asiyosa k'nilakabel o malchus shamayim. Attitudinally, right, the approach that a person has to every mitzvah is that through this I am expressing my kabbalas o malchus shamayim.
Not just being a nice guy.
Right. In other words, the mitzvah, every mitzvah ki'ilu is another opportunity to come into contact with the moment of stepping through the looking glass. In other words, prior to Matan Torah, prior to that realization and recognition that the Ribbono Shel Olam is everything, and he's giving us a derech, yeah, how to live life, not on a superficial level. So I'm outside. I'm chasing the white rabbit. Whatever I'm doing. When I come to a mitzvah, it's another opportunity. It's another blessed opportunity to step through the looking glass. To be makadal omar chushamayim. To come into contact once again with the idea of there's more to life than what appears on the surface. That's the goal of the mitzvah. That's what a mitzvah is. A mitzvah is a union between the mitzvah, the one who commands, that's the creator, the mitzuvah, the one who is being commanded, that's us, and the mitzvah is what binds us together. The mitzvah is what binds us together. And every mitzvah, as it were, is an opportunity to give expression to our Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim, to realize the world that we live in. What is the truth of that world? How does it function? Is it the world of I think, therefore I am? Or is it the world of He wills, therefore I be? B'nei'em asher otziva mechlal she'asiyos atzivu yose mekubu mitam ha-mitzvah. The tam of the mitzvah, right? We look for tamei mitzvos. Again, when we talk about tamei mitzvos, we're not talking about why Hashem gave us the mitzvah. We don't ask questions of why on Hashem. Only what is He telling us? The tamei mitzvos is that we experience, in doing the mitzvah, a certain right positive thing. Whatever that happens to be, given the different mitzvah, right?
It's revenues, I guess.
Okay, right. But the attitude is I'm not doing it because of the time of the mitzvah. The attitude in our asiyas a mitzvah, aval asiyas seinu, tzorach lios rak avur lasos ritzon Hashem yisbarach. Again, because the time of the mitzvah is almost ancillary. It's what we experience, but the ikar in our doing the mitzvah is the stepping through the looking glass. That's doing the gzeir of Hashem. That's, from our point of view, the ikar is that the byproduct of it is we certainly experience certain things. When a person is mekabel o malchus shamayim, He's mekabel umelchus shamayim. So then he does the mitzvah properly. His approach to the mitzvah is correct. So this is a fundamental idea, right? This is the idea of what he called mitzvah shtrichas kavana. He should have kavana to fulfill the tzivui of Hashem. Mitzvah shtrichas kavana. Even the Ban Hamer says mitzvah ein shtrichas kavana. It's only because we're saying that subliminally, the person is attached to that concept. But everybody agrees that a fundamental in the mitzvah, and that's what Shas Emes is teaching us, the fundamental mitzad from the vantage point of our doing it is, I'm going to do the tzivui of Hashem. The tzivui of Hashem. That brings me back to that nakuda, always, of Maamar HaSinai. He wills, therefore I be. This is an imperative. This is to enter into reality. V'chein asher ya'aseh osam adon v'chai bohem. We come to that pasuk in a second. Yeah? That a person should do the mitzvahs and realize he will live through them. Gam ken ha'perush v'hamshich chiyus mishorash hakol v'malchuso yizborach. So that is the what you call what the chai behem means. I am attaching myself to life. I'm attaching myself to life. And that's what the pasuk means. Ushmartem osam, right? Vasisem osam v'chai behem. You shall live. Pasuk. That's in Pasuk Hey, in Perek Yudches, right? We just read the first four Pasukim, that's Pasuk Hey. Go down for Scooch to the little next, the, in that same Sfas Emes, right? The one from Tuf Reish Lamed Beis, the first one we're doing. Just go down to the little, the second part of the paragraph there. Asher Ya'atzeh Osam Adam Bahem Bachai Bahem. Im Ki Amru Chazal. Listen to this. Right? Well, the pasuk says you should do the mitzvos and you shall live by them. So the Sfas Emes says, "Im ki amru chazal al kiu kavanim ameshamshim es harav amanas lekabel pras." We learn in Pirkei Avos, don't serve Hashem with the intention of receiving a pras. A pras we see as a reward. But how can it be? Says the Sfas Emes. How can that be? Because don't Chazal also say in Pirkei Avos, have a mechashev, have said mitzvah, right? Can I get schara? And so to make cheshbonos. Is it what's more kedai to gain? Yeah, this way, either through the avera, God forbid, or through the mitzvah. Or how much do you lose by the mitzvah? How much do you gain by the mitzvah? So they tell you approach things like an accountant. So on the one hand they tell you don't serve Hashem in order to receive reward, and they're telling you that as a methodology for doing that which is correct. You should make, as it were, try and be dispassionate for a scooch, and very impartially weigh the advantages and disadvantages to what he called the mitzvahs and averas. The two things don't fit together. He says, "Ki bevadai schar olam haba inu inyan aguf." This is what Sfas says when we talk about a pras. He explains what he calls synopsize it. The idea of a pras is like a prusat lechem. We've talked about this before. A pras, a reward. Don't serve Hashem with the understanding that you're going to receive a pras, like a prusat lechem. Prusat lechem is like a slice of bread, something cut off. In other words, if I see that the reward that I'm going to receive by virtue of my doing mitzvahs is something distinct from my connection to Hashem, something cut off, something like a slice of bread, I've made a mistake in my service of Hashem. I've made a mistake. Because that's not where it's at. It's not something distinct. It's not something cut off. The relationship by doing the mitzvah, the proper, healthy, both in thought and in feeling and in deed of connecting oneself to Hashem, that itself becomes a reward. It's not a pras. So we talk about figure it out what makes more sense. What makes more sense? Something which is temporal here, something which is what's more worthwhile, something which is here today and gone tomorrow, or something which is eternal? That's the cheshbon. So there is no stira. Because don't serve Hashem, I'm an asakabal pras, doesn't mean, yeah, don't serve Hashem with the understanding there's nothing's gonna come out at the end. Don't serve Hashem the understanding that Hashem is gonna give you a good candy at the end. Fine. Further. There's see the little Sathemis, I'm gonna synopsize it. There is a fundamental difference between the approach of the goyim yet to life, and that's really, it's a function of their living. Again, once again, whether they're in touch with French philosophers or not is irrelevant. Yeah, but it's based upon the I think therefore I am, right? Or I perceive therefore I am, or I experience therefore I am, or I'm titillated therefore I am. I'd say that brings that down more to the level nowadays, yeah? Rather than thinking, let's not get into thinking, let's get it right. I get goosebumps, and therefore I am, yeah? As opposed to, he wills, and therefore I be. The rest of the world, if there's tam, right? If the taste, the good taste, the experience, right, is what gets people to do things. I remember, to this day, I remember when I would ever get off the plane from Los Angeles to go back to school in New York, when I was in high school. And I remember there was a large billboard, you know, over the, I don't remember if it was the Grand Central, the Van Wyck, who remembers, it makes no difference. And it said, alive with pleasure. It was an advertisement for Newport cigarettes, right? Newport cigarettes. And of course, what's alive with pleasure? So we don't have to say what was on the billboard. That was obvious. They weren't talking about, you know, reading Shakespeare, right? Right? What do you call it? The billboard was appropriate to it, alive with pleasure. And of course, in the corner there, it says the Surgeon General says that if you smoke cigarettes, you're going to kill yourself and you'll drop dead, right? But whatever, but it didn't make a difference because it's alive with pleasure. If I detect pleasure here, then I do it. If I detect pleasure here, then I do it. If I don't detect pleasure here, then I don't do it. I avoid it. By Klal Yisrael, at Matan Torah, and Bechlal, that's our whole approach to everything, it's Nasa V'Nishma. Once again, because on the surface, right, Hashem introduced us to realizing that there's two different ways of life. There is the superficial way of life, and therefore, tam, taste, the good taste, alive with pleasure, is what gets people to do things. It motivates them to do it. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. But for us, the idea is do it, nasa, and then nishma. Then you begin to taste. You have to commit to doing the gzera of the borei olam, because anyway, he wills, therefore you be. Time is his. Space is his. Our very identity is his. Do you want to be in touch with that? Step through the looking glass. Do the act. Then you'll taste. So now, based upon that, says the bottom Sfasemes, right? From Tafresh Lamehei. He says, Kemaat Eretz Yisrael, Kemaat Eretz Kenan, Lo Sa'asu, Bebechukasem Lo Seleichu, Es Meshvatai Tassu, Asher Yaseh Asem Odom V'chai Behem. Right? That's Pasuk Hey in Perek Yud Ches. Kosha. And it was right after this comes the prohibition against the what we call illicit relationships. If the command, if this is an introduction, you know, don't do like Eretz Mitzrayim, don't do like what he called like the inhabitants of Canaan, the inhabitants of Mitzrayim, etc. If it's an introduction to not being over on Gilya Arayas, right, living a debauched lifestyle, Lama Taro Sama Kosuv Masim Mitzrayim Canaan. Why are we making it totally on in Mitzrayim and Canaan? Why do you make it dependent upon that? Just say, don't do this. Aval nira ki ha-mechuvan b'chol ha-maisim lo na'ase osam k'mo she'osim osam be'eretz Mitzrayim and Canaan. It's not just referring to living, you know, a wanton lifestyle, etc. Not being over the Avodah Zorah like the Mitzrayim, not being involved in debauchery, yeah, like the Canaanim. It's the world view. Kemaaseh Eretz Mitzrayim, right? And what do you call it? Matz Eretz Canaan. Don't absorb their worldview. You give a chol amaisim yesh ben pnimius v'chitzonius. Here, this Hasemis is really fleshing out what we were just talking about before. In every act, in every object, in every experience, there is an eternal reality, internal, which happens to be eternal, and a chitzonius, and an external reality. Mevadai shoresh kol amaasim ubekdusha. Everything has a nekuda kedusha inside of it. It's all from Hashem. Ki hakol lechvodo bara. Everything is created to realize and to reveal Hashem's kavod in the world. Again, not because Hashem needs a pat on the back, because it reminds us of what the truth is. Unakuda primius nitam b'nei Yisrael. That internal truth is given to the Jewish people. V'zeh kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shemayim. That's what we have to do. All our actions. Kol ma'asecha l'shem shemayim. Do it l'shem shemayim. It's not just be a goody two-shoes, do it l'shem shemayim. If you do l'shem shemayim, you've passed through the looking glass. You're in a different level of existence. L'chein nikra ma'asa ha'goyim chukos. Right? What's the pasuk say? The pasuk says, u'shmartem es chukosai. I'm sorry, really cool. The pasuk says, don't go in there chukim. What's a chok? A chok, as we understand, is something where you're not in touch with the real reason for it. It's hidden away from you. That's what a chok is. He says that's why it's called don't go in there chukim. Ki enem shaychos apnimius atamim. Right? Because the real reason of why anything exists, and the real reason why anything happens, and the real purpose for anything being, is hidden from them. You know, they think they know the reason. They think they know the reason for why is it in space, what do you call it, these things exist, and why is it in time these things happen, and why is it I have an identity. But really, the real reason for it is hidden from them. So they think what they're doing makes a lot of sense. It's true. But the fact is, the real reason for everything being, and everything happening, and everything existing, is totally hidden from them. So in essence, they're living a life of a chok. They just don't realize it. What do you call it? The goyim b'chlal. I mean, when we say b'chuko seyem lo seylechu, it's like, what do you mean b'chuko seyem lo seylechu? If we say the idea of a chok is something that you don't understand, right? So what do we call what the goyim do? Their rules, their regulations, or their world view, their philosophy of life. Why do we call it a chok? It's not a chok. They understand perfectly. We understand perfectly. Let's say they make a rule. They make a rule.
Take off your hat when you go into a.
Yeah, take off your hat. Well, let's get down to what we call the nitty gritty. When they'll start making the rules soon, every time you come to an office, right, at the end of the work day, because we have to get the work done, at the end of the work day, everybody is going to drink, right, men and women will all drink, right, half a bottle, right, of single malt, right, scotch. Now, so that's rule in the office, right? At the end of the day, when you finish your work, you've got to do the work. You know, I mean, there's a certain work ethic. You have to do the work. You do the work, but at the end of the day, everybody's got to drink, right? Half a bottle of single malt, right? Etc. And then the office will only close 5 hours later. Okay, so now would we say that's a chok? That's not a chok. It's perfectly understandable, right? That's what he called. This is an invitation to what he called to erotica, to debauchery, to what he called to wild parties, to whatever it is, right? That's not a chok. So he said, "Chok is like lechel." What he called? They come, you come to the office there, and they say that's part of the rules here. What he called? He said, "I can't follow that." They said, "Why can't you follow?" He says, "Well, I don't follow your chukim, right? Your ununderstandable commandments." And they look at you, "Hey man, you flipped out of your gazoo." What do you mean? That's ununderstandable? I can't explain it to you. That's not understandable. That's perfectly understandable. What's the matter? You got a problem? Teretz is. It's a chok. Because it has no connection to what the world is about, really. It's only a connection on the outside, but that missed the point. And that's what he says. Don't live your life. That's the introduction. That's the introduction to what he calls the Parshas Harayas, right? Don't live your life according to their chukim. Because really what they're doing is not understandable. It's understandable only in terms of knee-jerk reaction. Yeah? It's understandable only in terms of the most base, what he calls, you know, human conduct. But it's not understandable in terms of what's the world here for. Why were we created? To be cats? Meow. Further. Further. Says the... Says we go... Turn page, right? Ushmartim is chukos laivis mishmatai asher yaseh usam adam v'chai b'hem. Rashi says, it's supposed to say K. Rashi says, Ushmartim is chukos laivis mishmatai asher yaseh usam adam v'chai b'hem, ani Hashem. So Rashi says, v'chai b'hem, what's that v'chai b'hem? You shall live by them. Rashi says, olam abo. Shim tomer b'olam azeh, halo sofu umeis. That's pretty much the point. Right? In other words, what is in v'chai b'hem? Do the mitzvos, right? Guard my chukim, this mishpatai, and my statutes, asher yasa adam, some adam, that a person does, v'chai b'hem, and live by it. So Rashi says, what does v'chai b'hem mean? It means in olam haba, because eventually everybody, right, shuffles off the mortal coil in this world. Says the Sfas Emes, v'patuk v'shmartim eschukos asher yasa adam, v'chai b'hem, peyus rashi olam haba. V'yesh l'far ashod, perhaps you can say, something more, says the Sfas Emes. Ha-perish, asher ze atzmo, ha-kodesh baruch, mevakesh mitonu, asher be'emtzeo, shmiret ha-mitzvos karoi, yitaknu kol ha-maisim, v'yizbara emuna ba-olam. It's kilo commandment. V'chai b'hem. Live through them. In other words, when you attach yourself, when you're shomer, right? L'chok. Shmira can be to guard. Shmira is also to wait in anticipation, to guard the moment, as it were. Ushmartim et chukosai, when your whole raison d'etre is one of excited anticipation to do the ratzon Hashem, to do the chukim, Hashem's chukim, right? Hashem's chukim. So then you will live by that. Your life is going to be different because you're going to be living life on the other side of the looking glass. The more that a Jew does that, the more it transforms the world. The world becomes a better place. That's what he says. If a person show me the mitzvahs to write, yitaknu kol ha-maisim yizbara emuna ba'olam. Because the more that there are people, that the Am Hashem is marching to the beat of that drummer, that changes, it modifies, right, the entire world. And the more that a person is mamin, like the Rambam teaches us, the more nevuchim, the more that a person believes, and the more that a person is boteach, he relies upon Hashem, that he's living in that the world, which is on the other side of the looking glass, the more that hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealed, has been fine-tuned in the world. That changes the way that everybody sees the world. Because they're living on the outside. They're living on one side of the looking glass. And they see themselves as justified because they don't see the Yad Hashem in the world. Right? When it happens once in a while, it's all chance. But if the Jewish people step through the looking glass and they live by it, v'chai b'hem, they're shomer the chukim. They wait in bait with bated breath to do Hashem's will, to show that, as it were, that He is the Melech Malchim Amlochim, and we are marching towards the beat of His drum. So the more that they do that, that changes the way Hashem is mashgiach upon them, because it becomes more clear, more evident in the world. Once that becomes more evident in the world, then the people on the other side of the looking glass says, "Hey, maybe something else is going on here." the relationship Hashem is dealing with the Jews. Further. Kedoshim to you. Now the next parsha, Kedoshim to you. Says the Sfat Emes, B'medrash v'zorah kadosh ki hu havtocha. So if what we saw before in Achrimos, right, is a painting of reality, a painting of reality, right, a different way to live life, right, a different way of showing that you've accepted Hashem's gzeros, and that's why you conduct yourself a certain way. Now kedoshim to you. So he brings, Sasamis brings the Medrash and the Zohar say ki hu haftocha. It's not just a commandment, be holy. It's a haftocha, it's a promise. It is, you will be holy. You can be successful at this. Right. You can be successful at this. Because we need some encouragement. Because looking at this, he says, Kedoshim to you, be holy. And we look at the mirror, right? And then we say, who are you making fun of? I can be holy, right? I can be holy. Maybe, God forbid, right? Because I was in Vietnam and fell into a tiger trap, right? I'd be holy, right? So step on the punji stakes, God forbid, Khalila. I can't be holy. Says what he called the Sfasemis, it's not just a commandment. It is haftacha. It's possible. Achi kodosh ani Hashem elokeichem. Ki perish. Acha shotzeinu Hashem yisbarach mitzrayim. Shayim shubadim lehem. Vivdilonu me'umos. Shachiyus v'akoach sheish betoch kol ish Yisrael whom Hashem yisbarach. Pasuk says, kedoshim to you, right? Kedoshim, well, why? Ki kodosh ani Hashem elokeichem. Because I am holy. And I attached myself to you, and you are attached to me. That my holiness can spread into you. Don't give up. As I promised you, I give out talk, you can do it. Now, how does that work? So in this, what do you call it, in the Parsha here, in Parsha's Kedoshim, it's a very fascinating, the Medrash. It brings down Tilim Chof. And I really think this will be useful to us when we think about this. We say Tilim Chof, Lamatzeach, right? Mizmor LeDavid. Like we say after Ashrei, before Uvalatzion. Lamatzeach, right? Lamatzeach, right? Lamatzeach, Mizmor LeDavid. Yancha Hashem biyom tzara. Hashem should answer you biyom tzara in a day of straits. Straits. You're in tough straits. Yisagev Hashem Elokei Yaakov. Right? The name of Elokei Yaakov will lift you up. Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh Mitzion Yisadeka. He'll send your aid from Kodesh Umitzion Yisadeka. And from Sion he will support you. It says the Medrash here in Kedoshim. Ezra V'siyu Mitzion. That's what it says. Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh Mitzion Yisadeka. Ezra and Siyu. Aid and support. Come from Tzion, Kodesh, Tzion. Shnei Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh. Mikodosh, Mikidush Maisim Sheish Beyodcha. From the Kiddush Maisim, from the holy acts that are in your hands. Umitzion Yisadecha. And from Tzion, right? Tzion is also Litzayen. In other words, when I point something out. I point something out. I'm being mitzayin. I'm pointing this out. Umitzion yisadeka. Mitzion maisim. From the pointing out, as it were. From the direction, as it were, given from your maisim. Sheish biyadcha. And where do we get our aid from? Where do we get our support from? From the acts that we do. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lemoshe. Leichem Mor Yisrael, Bonai, Keshem Shani Porush, Kachti U Prushim, Keshem Shani Kodosh, Kachti U Kedoshim, Hu Dichsiv Kedoshim to you. So what does that do with the price of eggs? The idea is that when we do the mitzvos, it's not just, okay, now we're going to live in a different reality. When we do the mitzvos, it spills back on top of us. That's why they brought this medrash. Lamatzeach mizmor leDavid. Right? Lamatzeach. To the one who gives us the capacity, like Rav Hirsch explains in Lamatzeach, to the one who gives us the capacity to overcome all of our difficulties. So there we are. Right? There we are. Every day we're like this. Right? Hashem, help me. Lamatzeach mizmor leDavid. A song to David. Yeah? Yam cha Hashem b'yom tzara. Hashem will answer you b'yom tzara. What's the yom tzara? It's always a tzara. Why? Because I feel like I'm drowning in all of my zeh. I feel like I can't do it. I feel like I'm not capable. I feel like I never could be kadosh. I feel like I never can pass the mustard. I don't think it. Yisakev Hashem Elokei Yaakov. Hashem will lift you up. The name of Hashem will lift you up. How? Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh. When you do the mitzvah, in other words, you've touched of the other side of the looking glass, and you've done it because Hashem was mitzavi you. Your aid, right, will come from that kedusha. It's not just going to be something that's going to be for you in the next world. It's going to spill over onto you now. Uritzion yisadeka, and from the mitzvah that you did. In every mitzvah, there is the kedusha satorah that's there that you're touching, right? Which you can't necessarily wrap your head around, but it's there. And the tziyun, and for the act, the physical act that you did, which is a signpost to the kedusha. Every mitzvah that you do, every mitzvah is, right, it's mitzayin. It points to, it's a signpost to kedusha. Every mitzvah that involves your physical being, right? Right, your actions, or be it the feelings of your heart, or what they call it, or the thoughts of your mind, but every mitzvah that you do while you're in this physical case are as a signpost, right? It sends you to a footnote. It sends you to a footnote of kedusha. When you do a mitzvah, so you're azer, you touch the kedusha itself, the Torah which is behind the mitzvah, and you involve your guf in the signpost that sends you to that kedusha. That's what's going to help you. Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh. You will develop, you will, what you call, the more you do the mitzvos with the right attitude, you will be more attached to Kedusha. That Kedusha will wash back on top of you. And you will receive both your aid from it and your siyu and your support from it. Says Tzfas Emes. Right? The Medrash Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh Mitzion. Mikidush Maisim Mitzion Maisim. It's the Medrash. That's our question. How can I be kadosh? Hashem tells me kadoshim to you, and I said, "Wow, man, I might as well just cast myself from the nearest parapet right now." Right? I'm looking at myself in the corner of the mirror. And I said, "What, you buzzard? Right? You're going to be kadosh? Tell me about it. Yeah. Where should we start first with what's wrong with you? Should we start with your head? Should we start with your shoes? Should we start with everything in the middle? Should we start the way we talk, the way we look, the way we act, the way we do mitzvahs? Like, I might as well just shoot myself now and get it over with. Right?" If you want it, if you choose to do the mitzvah like we were discussing before, we should do every mitzvah like the Sfasem has taught us in Achrimos, that we should do the mitzvahs as a function of our accepting Hashem's direction, because that's the reality that we're meant to live in. If you do that, every mitzvah that you do is a signpost pointing to deeper kedusha. You should set up for yourself tzionim. You should set up for yourself signposts. Do mitzvos. Through that, you'll be able to come to kedusha because it's going to wash back over you. Mikodesh is a reference to the Torah. Tzion, right? Right is a reference to mitzvos. How can I be kadosh? Do Torah mitzvos. Do mitzvos the way I told you to do. In a way that you live through it. Do chai behem. Do mitzvos as a function of I accepted Hashem's dominion, and therefore, right, I have to do His tzivuyim. I do His tzivuyim because that's the only attachment that I have to the reality of He wills, therefore I be. If you do the mitzvahs right, then the mitzvah itself will attach you to the Torah, and you'll become kadosh. Mitzvah same be emes eitzos echla hamshich kudrashi yisroch l'chol ha-maisim. And doing the mitzvos with the right approach, etc., is the way to attach oneself to Kedusha in everything that we do. And he says, last thing for you, Yaram. V'chein b'shabbos kodesh k'si v'yakadesh shemamshich Kedusha l'chol ma'aseh bereishis. Shabbos is invested, is embedded, right, with Kedusha by Kadesh, sanctifies it. You do Shabbos, and that spreads the rest of the week as well. He says, Derech Remez, just the last thing, Derech Remez, Yishlach Ezracha Mikodesh, your aid will come from Kodesh, who Kiddush. Right? You're a Shabbos Jew. Right? Right? On Shabbos, you make Kiddush, your Ezer will come from Kiddush. Umitzion Yisadeka. And from Tzion you will have your, we will be supported. Yisadeka, Lashon of Sudas Shabbos. You plug into, what do you call it, into Kiddush. You do it the right way. You do the Sudas Shabbos the right way. That washes back over you. That'll give you the aid. So what we saw in Achrei Mos is the right attitude. And in Kedoshim Tiyu, right, we see certainly the Derech of the Sfas Emes that it gives us hope that we actually be able to do this. If we do it the right way, it'll wash back over us and transform us as well. Okay.